Welcome to the Senate Education and Government meeting. We have a few organizational housekeeping items to go through here first. I do want to start off, though, for this special session, introducing our staff. Of course, you know the capable Dana Richardson is our administrator. Once again, we're lucky to have her. And coming back for another appearance is Bonnie Allen, came back. It's sort of like those old movie duos who keep coming back for the sequels, and we are glad to have you. And if it's okay with you, committee, we'll just do a very quick introduction and where you're from, what you're up to, get going.
What's that introduction?
Senator Bonamici, you want to start?
Yes, I'm Suzanne Bonamici, and I represent Senate District 17, which is in Washington County and parts of Montgomery County, Northwest Portland.
Jeff Cruz, relatively new. been on this committee for a while now. It's a real pleasure, and we'll continue to do good things.
Senator Morse?
Frank Morse, District 8, Albany, Corvallis areas. And let's do good work.
Rick Butzker, Hood River, Clackamas counties, and about three streets in the city of Portland. As I'm always reminded by Portland.
I'd never heard that part.
You don't want to claim
that. Mark Hass from Beaverton and Southwest Portland. I trust you've all read the rules. Any discussion on the rules?
We need to go into work session.
Is there a motion?
We need to go into work session, and then we can make the motion.
Then I'll open a work session on our adoption of committee rules.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the proposed committee rules.
Mr. Cruz moves to adopt the proposed committee rules. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, the rules are adopted. I'll close that work session and open an informational session on a report from the Governor's Reset Cabinet Work Group on Regional Education Delivery Systems. And we have Jim Sager, Karen Gray, Ozzie Rose to kick things off. They're here. Welcome.
Seen these people before.
Good afternoon, Chair Hass, members of the committee. For the record, I am James Sager, Assistant Superintendent, Northwest Regional ESD.
And Karen Fisher-Gray, Superintendent, Park Rose Schools.
Ozzie Rose with the Oregon Association of ESDs.
How would you like to do this? Just each of you have a short presentation? And
if you don't mind, I would like to give an overview of what the committee has been working with, grappling with, and then I have a couple specific items that I'd like both my colleagues here to mention, and then open it up for questions.
Okay.
So that people understand for the record, I also serve on the Governor's Reset Cabinet, and I chair the Education Committee. As a sub-work group of that committee, the governor asked a group of folks to come together to look at Oregon's regional delivery system. On the committee, we have four legislators, Senator Cruz being one of them, three representatives. They are Representative Berger, Comp, and Roblin. So that, again, we wanted to make sure we were tied in directly with the thinking and the work that could go on in the next legislative session with all of you. We also have superintendents from a few of the ESDs, from several of the K-12 school districts, large and small, ODE and Ozzie and other interested folks to bring to the table to make sure that we're covering the gamut of the issues. Our goal is to provide equality of access and opportunity for all Oregon school districts and students to have access and opportunity to the services that they need, whether they're in rural Oregon or a metro area. We're also to examine ways to enhance the services that districts and students could receive, and or find efficiencies in the way that we can provide these services, especially using technology and things that occur today. The governor has asked us to look at these issues, facing the real possibility that over the next several years, the economy does not indicate the ability to make significant additional investments into education. So if we're going to meet the needs of our children and our school districts, we have to be open to the idea of maybe thinking differently in how we deliver services and find those efficiencies. Since Oregon is not alone in this effort, one of the first people we turned to was Brian Talbot. He is the executive director of the Association of Education Service Agencies. He flew out to Oregon, met with the work group, and gave us a real good background presentation on the challenges that other states are facing, the hurdles that they're running into, in some cases how they got over those hurdles, just to give us a pretty good grounding in not only what we were facing, but where people had tried some things that hadn't worked, or were starting to, you know, maybe make some headway in some of these issues. One of the areas specifically that he went over and we are studying is that of shared services, that there are ways to utilize technology to provide back office services, cooperative purchasing, research, legal services. We're looking at all the national ideas and data to see what would make sense to recommend to the governor for Oregon. We are also using, in 2006, we commissioned Annenberg to do a report for us here in Oregon. The report's called Better Supports for Better Oregon Schools. And the report laid out a series of recommendations, not just for K-12, but actually K-14, how we can really leverage across those boundaries to, again, to provide the best services to students all across the state. A third, we have also asked our ESDs to begin doing some survey work. One of the documents that, there were two documents that were passed out to you. One of them is titled Zone A Collaborative Efforts. The other is from the Intermountain Technology that is the title. And if I could, I just want to highlight these for a moment. Various ESDs and or school district combinations have stepped up to say, we're willing to investigate some of these options. In Zone A, which is one of four zones for ESDs in the state of Oregon, it consists of Northwest Regional, Multnomah, Clackamas, and Columbia Gorge ESDs. We brought key staff members together in key areas to first identify where are programs that we currently, two or more ESDs are currently already collaborating. Number two, where are areas maybe we should collaborate, that there would be the potential to collaborate and start laying those issues out. The report in front of you is the report out from the first meeting of these groups. Now, it may not appear to be overly ambitious at this time, but anytime you bring a group of people together to begin thinking differently than their culture calls for, and to help people kind of get beyond just thinking about themselves, their job, their ESD, their district, and really thinking about the state, it takes some time to build trust and success in that process. I think back to years ago when I tried to get my school staff to take more responsibility in decision-making in the school, and literally one of the first issues we had to deal with was how many and what kinds of balls are we going to allow on the playground at lunch recess, because we had to have an issue that we could all look at, agree to work on, and build success and build trust. And so this is a starting point for this. A number of meetings have already been scheduled for these groups to really be challenged as to how to think of delivery systems differently. So this is occurring in Zone A. You have a report from Intermountain Technology, which, as you can see, is Umatilla-Morrill, Malheur, Crook, Deschutes, ESDs. We also have At the High Desert ESD, we have the ESD and the school districts there agreeing to work with Chalkboard and Eco Northwest to look at shared services among school districts. So there are a variety of these pilots taking place, primarily so that both to the governor and to all of you, we can report back not just, gee, we think this might have some potential, but actually be able to bring forward and say, in this environment, in these conditions, we were able to enhance service or save resources and actually give you on-the-ground feedback and reality. So with that, what I'd like to do is ask Ozzie, because we consider him the education historian extraordinaire, to give you the little background on what we've dealt with in this state on this issue.
I think Ozzie goes back to the one-room schoolhouse.
Well, I did. Ozzie Rolls with the Association of ESDs. I have a handout for you. And the purpose of what I'm going to share with you is try to get to the point that what should we do now at this point in time. And on the first side of that document I gave you, there's a brief history of the ESD movement. And I was not there, but they were formed in 1849, their predecessor. And it was a one-person commissioner who had authority to set school district boundaries, pass out the money, evaluate the teachers. And I read one thing where one of them alleged that he was the good shepherd of schools in the area in which he... But as time rolled on and different needs, the concept of regional services gets addressed differently, and I won't go through all that with you. And we're right now looking at that concept of regional services of any value. If they don't contribute to the overall education community better services or reduce cost, then we have a problem with arguing there should be regional services. What we believe, most of us believe, that they in fact do have ways to do those two things. But there's been 9 studies of ESDs since 1965. 4 of them recommended a reduction in the number of ESDs. One of those proposals was sent to voters and failed. 2 died in legislative committees. 1 resulted in reducing the ESDs from 29 to 21. The most comprehensive effort by a task force to look in this was in 1999, and you created a legislative task, or your predecessors did, and 6 local district reps, 6 ESD reps, and 5 legislators. That task force made 27 recommendations to the legislature. 25 of those were approved unanimously by the members of the task force. One of them was approved 11-4, and that's the one that would have reduced the number of ESDs from 21 to 14. The 27th one allowed effective ESDs to submit an alternative plan. That was approved 13-4. In 2001, the legislature adopted some of the recommendations, all of the funding recommendations, and that's where we got the 95-5 as we divide up the money to give them their portion of the state school fund. The 90-10 issue where 90% of what ESD they have to give to the local districts in terms of program. And it developed a 4-year phase-in for equity purposes. One thing I think gets lost in this discussion is prior to Measure 5 and the shift to state-funded or state control of the and state support of schools, the reduction of the property taxes, ESDs had their own tax bases and or tax levies, and they levied whatever their voters would approve. And we had some kind of wealthy ESDs and some very poor ones. And we had the same thing with the local school districts when we put that thing together in the early 90s, and that led to the formula on a per-student basis. We did that in the early 90s. We did not mess with the ESDs at that time. As time rolled on, the poor ESDs fussed.
And so they looked for a system to move to a per-student sharing of the funds in the same manner as the local school districts. That led to the system we have now. They take all the money that's available, and whatever the component school districts generate, an amount equal to 5% of that is given to the ESD. That's also led to a lot stronger view of, well, that's our money, and some ESDs, that some districts want the money that's their share. It was never, ever a share issue. It was a funding of a regional program to drive economies of scale and better service. By the way, you also know that the reducing number of ESDs failed in our session last time. That was an issue that we dealt with. So where are we today? What are the reasons we might look at a new way to have regional services? We have increased demand and intrusion in the operation of local schools by state and federal government. We have moved from a locally funded to a state-funded system, which rightfully has increased the interest of state decision makers in what goes on in schools. ODE's capacity to perform their traditional task of training, curriculum support, school improvement, technical assistance has been diminished by both the shrinking of the size of the department and the increased focus on regulatory and accountability responsibilities. The increased use of technology across the board is creating new opportunities for efficiencies on a regional or maybe statewide basis. And the last one, which Jim mentioned, most of us believe that there's going to be a continued shortfall of resources to do what everything that people think we ought to do. As the healthcare costs go, our costs go up, et cetera, we're not out of this problem. The issues change with time, but the statutory mission of ESDs is very clear. The mission of an ESD is to assist school districts and the Department of Education in achieving Oregon's educational goals by providing equitable, high-quality, cost-effective, and locally responsive services at a regional level. The question on the table now, as in the past, is, can regional services to local school districts be strengthened or improved to assure that all children receive the educational services we promise them when we say that every child shall have the opportunity to reach his or her full potential? Most of us believe the answer is yes, they can be improved and make bigger contributions. That is what led to the discussion, partly out of some of you folks, and the reset agenda that got put together. We need to determine the services or programs that create efficiencies if delivered to districts and students on a regional basis, and then address the appropriate infrastructure required to support those services and programs. There is no shortage of proposals on what we need to do about ESDs, but there has not been a very careful analysis of most of them, and that needs to be done before we decide what we want to do, and hopefully we will do that in a way that you will be satisfied with and have your data to help you make good decisions for Oregon in the 2011 session. Thank you. I'll answer questions whenever they answer questions.
If you don't mind, we'd like to have Karen share some firsthand experience that she's had as a superintendent.
So once again, I'm Karen Gray from Park Rose School District, and I'm the chair of the Regional Services Delivery Work Group. I was asked to speak today due to my unique work opportunities that I've been able to have in Oregon as a superintendent. I was a superintendent in the Coos Bay School District on the Oregon coast, and now a superintendent in Park Rose, which is in the city of Portland. Both of the school districts are the same size, and in fact, they are 29th and 30th largest school districts in the state. They both have about 3,600 students and about 70% average poverty. The difference there is that Park Rose has a large diversity in its demographics and in ELL population, which is not seen on the coast. Yet, they have very, very different access to services. So I'll give you some examples. In Coos Bay School District, where I was also the director of special programs, We had one program that we did through Resolution Services, and it was for life skills for kids with severe disabilities. We didn't have any other Resolution Services with the ESD. And in fact, the cost to participating in that Resolution Service for life skills cost us $600,000 in backfill. So not only were we in resolution, but it cost us dollars out of the general fund to be able to offset what it costs to have life skills in our area. So then, if you fast forward to when I started with Park Rose School District 3 years ago, and I was presented my local service plan, which I actually brought today. It's in this document. These are my services. The differences were astounding, and I felt like a kid in a candy shop. We had services for multiple different kinds of alternative education programs, from incarcerated youth to students with functional life skills. We have health and nursing services that are provided in nursing assistance in every school. We have access to technology, curriculum, school improvement. The list that positive behavior support, cooperative purchasing programs, and many kinds of technology services. And then they're all listed here if you wanted to take a look at that. So not only were these are these the services that we agreed to have in our service plan as part of mostly part of resolution services, but what isn't done in resolution, I get what we call transition dollars or flow-through dollars at a large rate of money, which then allows me as superintendent to determine where I think those dollars ought to be spent. So I can go out and contract with different places that I need help with. And it's done very, very specifically to Park Rose. The money that's not spent in those flow-through dollars then can become carry-forward for the next year to help support the programs. The kids that are in Park Rose actually are at 12% special education in Coos Bay. They were really, really high, and when I left, about 17% over the cap. You know, 17% and a significant amount over the 11% cap. And, yeah, there were no services that I could really buy in that place. So to me, what's unique about my vision and my way of seeing this is, why should it be that I should work in two different districts that are so similar in nature and so similar in size, and yet the floor of services is very different? And that's my testimony.
So we've tried to highlight there's quite a spectrum of issues that the work group is grappling with. We have asked the ESDs across the state to, we're putting together a survey of finding out more directly from school districts what kinds of services they feel would be best to have offered in out of the core program that all schools and children would have access to. We're working very closely, have been working closely. We will now look very carefully at the Race to the Top application to find those elements of that application that connect with the work that we're doing. And we have really began to focus on identifying those core services so that, in fact, regardless of how it makes it to the school district, every school district would have access to the core services that, again, the group decides should be provided. Our goal is to have this work done and rolled up into a report to the governor. It has to be to him by the 1st of June. So it will go to my education committee and then to the cabinet, then on to the governor. And we have a series of plans in place that, assuming the governor is pleased with the work, that we have plans to carry this work forward into next January again so that we can have information for the governor as well as the legislature as to what the effect of some of these changes on the ground already are, and we can have a real good basis for conversation. So with that, be happy to answer questions.
So my understanding is you don't have any, even the framework yet of what any kind of a reorganization or reform, what do you want to...
Chair Haas, no, we don't. What the governor has asked us to be very deliberative on this process. One of the next steps is trying to gather some additional external kind of feedback and ideas from districts and others. And so we're trying to make sure that we don't jump to conclusions before we feel we have actually reviewed all the evidence that we think is necessary.
Well, thank you all three for that, and good luck on your goal. This is a pretty thorny thicket, as we all know on this committee. I guess I would ask, you know, at what point are you doing this analysis? Are you looking at what's there now, saying this could be better? Are you stepping back and going back to this history list of when these were originally founded, the rural school districts regulatory arm, or whatever they were called? And, you know, I have always maintained here that one of the services, the best use of an ESD, I think you noted, Ozzie, when you said, is that their chief benefit is they drive the economies of scale. The circuit riders, the special needs instructors, and I still maintain that should be the number one priority. And so what we always run into, and we've seen a lot of very ugly news headlines lately because of the ESD in this area, why do large school districts who can generate their own economies of scale have to be affiliated with an ESD? Because that's kind of the antithesis of the origins of this whole concept.
Can I answer that?
Go ahead. And
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that analysis is correct, except they were designed to create an economy of scale for all school districts. And depending on what you mean by large ones get out, I was just in a discussion this morning in Lane. You could let Springfield and Eugene both get out. There would not be enough of a student base. We provide the resources right now on a student base. There aren't enough students left in the rest of Lane County to create the services that they're now receiving. And that may or may not be good. They could buy those maybe directly from Eugene if Eugene wanted to do it. But you're no system then. The system puts the smaller districts in an issue of trying to beg for services rather than help design them. And until we switch the funding to a per-student basis, this wasn't much of an issue. But over the last 10 years, when we're funding on a per-student basis and setting by a 4.8%, whatever it is, aside for the ESDs, now all of a sudden in our tight economies, people are saying, hey, that's my money. I could do better with it. And the part of this discussion has to move to some of these services, I would argue, probably can be delivered on a statewide basis, not just by a region. You know what? When I call and get help on the computer, sometimes I talk to somebody in India. And my son used to work for a company that provided to the realtors some kind of software thing. And he used to go down, it was here in Salem, and on a Sunday night and fix a computer in Montreal. Well, I submit that maybe there's some areas where you could do everything for the entire state out of one office. Some other areas you couldn't. It wouldn't work that way. But we've got to focus on what services contribute to every kid having an opportunity and do it with resources that are going to get shorter and shorter. And see, that's what I said earlier, that the other issue, you know, that if we had fewer of them, but I don't know what fewer should be, may or may not be, cutting their money from 4.7% to 3%, which is one of the ideas, nobody's looked at what is the result of doing those kind of things. And hopefully we'll have for you before you come back in the fall. By the way, I don't care if the governor likes what we do or not. If we like it, he won't be here next time anyway. I didn't know how to say that politely, but...
that was pretty good.
To the camera.
Cut to the chase.
My argument is, if this work is done well over the next 6 months, and it has to be done well,
right,
we'll have something on the table to make this an informed discussion when we get back here in 2011. You're still going to have the problem if you decide that there should be X number of ESDs instead of Y. Those getting reduced will think that's not a good idea. And we've got to demonstrate to them that their kids get a better deal out of this than the one they got now. And I think that can be done.
And if I might, in my region, we range from Jewell to Beaverton in size of school districts. And it is it requires a lot of time and energy to sit down with superintendents and their staffs and figure out what services they need across that kind of spectrum and how to not only leverage the services of what we now call ESDs, and I'm saying that because we don't know if the regional delivery system should be called that or not, but the bottom line is the collaboration that as an ESD we have with Beaverton as an individual school district and vice versa that also leverages resources for other school districts. And so we are benefiting across the sectors. And I think this is kind of similar to what I said earlier with when we pulled these groups of people together. We have to stop thinking about just our student inside our boundary today, but really the students of Oregon. And how do we leverage the ever-tightening resources we have in this state to benefit all the students and give all the students access and opportunity? And that is what the having these collaborations, we believe, will help. This is why the service plans, if they're carried out correctly and you get unanimous consent of your school districts to move forward, it's because you've included people to really look at the needs of their students. And I think that that is an approach that has real merit and is one that we've been trying to study very carefully.
Well, I suppose devil's advocate answer to that question you posed would be, I mean, especially a lot of people around here would say, well, if you didn't have the administrative overhead and the headaches you've had from this local ESD, and there have been others, you would have more money for kids in the classroom, special needs, and what have you. And the question I'm sort of posing to Ozzy and to this reset group is to not look at what the ESD system is like now and how we can improve it, but to just, you know, wipe the slate clean, pretend we had no ESDs, and if we were building a school system, how would we provide most efficiently special needs care to children in Portland and children in Coos Bay and the smalls and the bigs? Yeah. Forget about boundaries, forget about turfs, forget about administrators. I'm sorry that a superintendent in Northeast Oregon may lose their job, but for every superintendent that we lose, we can pick up three new speech pathologists, or whatever the math is. And that's, honestly, that's how I'm looking at this. And so I would like to see this reset group try and focus more on what we would, how we would rebuild it, not on how to make the existing ESD system different.
You've identified the committee work.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
And, Mr. Chair, I try to say very carefully that that's the issue. The infrastructure comes after you know what you need for services. And everything ought to be driven by, and the other issue is, can you deliver the services more efficiently? Because again, I feel very, very strongly that our future of dollars for health care and education are going to be a strain. And we've got to do the best we possibly can with what we have. Senator Morse told us at one of these meetings, we need to, I think, call it a building case or business case, something like that. And it, business case for you don't hear me say ESDs except I'm talking to my members. It's regional services that are the issue. It isn't ESDs. And all the things you said about some things will change, you're right, they will.
Senator Cruz?
Yeah. You know, at this point, number one, whether the governor, I agree with Ozzy, whether the governor likes it or not, we're going to continue on. And I know we have a deadline for him, but we will continue after that deadline to further fine-tune this. But, you know, at this point, we aren't even talking about boundaries.
No. Yeah.
Boundaries are irrelevant. It's services, pure and simple. It's services. And it's quite simply, there are some services that can be delivered on a much bigger scale than other services. And so I do think at the end of the day, the term ESD may disappear and will probably be replaced by something that more truly identifies what this function is going to be. But and so to that degree, you know, I'm not worried about boundaries at this point in time. I mean, there's other things going on out there. Douglas ESD's got a new super, George Murdoch, who is meeting with South Coast ESD. That's never happened before. Okay. You know, so other than the two reports you got today, there are a lot of other on-the-ground efforts out there that are proceeding to inform us as we move forward with this. So I think I'm actually really encouraged by the direction we're going and the place we started. And the place we talked all last session was, shouldn't this be about services to kids? Mm-hmm. And so anything we build is going to start with the kids and go upward from there. And so to a large degree, we are starting with a clean slate. So as much as possible. I mean, there's some constraints on that sort of thing, but I'm encouraged by the thoughtfulness of the group, and I think the right players are there for us to come up with something. I think that will be something we can support and not have to keep wrestling with this darn ESD critter over and over and over again. Time will tell, and we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and we know that. And in fact, we canceled our meeting for this month for a couple reasons. But number one, we just didn't think we'd have the data we need. We had to be here, and we had other data that we needed to get. So, because we aren't going to have meetings just to have meetings, we're going to have meetings to do work. So, I'm very encouraged by the direction we're headed.
Mr. Chair, may I make one more comment to cement that there are a lot of us that believe that boundaries are not the issue. By the way, we have regional programs. We only have 8 of those.
Yep.
And we have 9 early intervention programs that cover the whole state. Mm-hmm. Problems that you need to pay attention to when you talk about boundaries and stuff, all the ESDs have a taxing authority. Mm-hmm. And if you just do away with them, what happens to that? Because that's set up constitutionally. Or if you change their boundaries. And you guys are all aware of, but your colleagues who want change and want it fast. If we lose all that tax authority, that's money out of the state school fund. Because the way the state school fund works, you take all of the local money, add to it what you guys appropriate, and then back out what you need to give each district out of that. But if we lost all of the taxing authority of the SDs, you would have a significant problem on your hands in terms of how you backfill for that. And it would affect every school district because it's the state school fund that would shrink. Thank you for your time.
Senator Bonamici.
I'm fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions?
Well, just thank you, Mr. Chair. To echo the previous comments of the Chair and the Vice Chair, my question is, looking at the process, are you engaging any fresh set of eyes, people that understand, you know, complex organizations and can maybe help you see things you might not otherwise see? And also people that don't have particular biases one way or the other.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, we believe we are. We're trying to. And that was in part why we started with Brian Talbot as we did. Even though he has a background in ESDs and he understands the agencies, coming from the national level, he came in and gave us kind of a real down-to-earth understanding of what, again, the challenges people have faced and how they've overcome the hurdles. And helped us stay focused on what is it that what is our goal, and that being the services to our children, and how do we differentiate who's responsible for what set of services from the classroom up to the Department of Education. Now, that whole spectrum my education committee is dealing with. This group is looking at the regional system. But even inside that system, there are ways that we can talk about who is responsible for that, and really an accountability system where instead of everyone just kind of pointing at each other, we can actually articulate how these services are being delivered and why we believe today it's the best system possible. And, you know, I agree with the chair and vice chair that we use the term ESD and stuff because it's easiest to talk about right now, but really the whole focus of the group is a regional delivery system. What does that mean? And then what form is necessary to support that delivery system?
Further questions? Well, we look forward to working with you and getting updates and, of course, with your report.
Our goal is to get something you can get 31 and 16 votes for.
Nice. Thank you.
31, 16, and 1, I believe, is how that works.
Okay, committee, that's all we have on the docket today. This is not to be confused with our technical ESD bill we have set coming up. And we'll return on Thursday.
Wednesday.
I'm sorry. I'm going Tuesday, Thursday again. We'll be back on Wednesday. We're adjourned.